On one of my trips to Asia, it was my privilege to work my way through the covenant of communicant membership with some 54 of our siblings in that country. And as I was leading us through those queries in the covenant of communicant membership, I was struck afresh with how unique and challenging the fourth query of the covenant of communicant membership is. Because I'm convinced that our days are no different, really, than the days of the judges. You might remember what Judges 21:25 tells us. It's one of those passages in Judges that most of us remember as soon as we hear what it is. In those days, Israel had no king, and what? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it was that theme song of the 60s. Some of us remember the 60s. That song that old Blue Eyes himself recorded, right? You remember what the line that resounds throughout that is, "I did it my way." And it was George Carlin, remember him, who was asked that question, "Do you still support the adage of the 60s, challenge authority?" And he answered in the negative. "No, I no longer want us to challenge authority. I want us to destroy authority." And it's in that fourth query, the covenant of communicant membership, that we say, "Do you promise to submit in the Lord to the teaching and government of this church as being based upon the scriptures and described in substance in the constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church? Do you recognize your responsibility to work with others in the church? And do you promise to support and encourage them in their service to the Lord?" That's this afternoon's message. This morning, it's this last statement. "In case you should need correction in doctrine or life, do you promise to respect the authority and the discipline of the church?" You promise to respect the authority and the discipline of the church. John Owen's 19th rule for walking in fellowship is captured by the title of this morning's sermon: Esteeming Shepherds. Esteeming Shepherds. God has ordained shepherds in his visible flock the responsibility of indeed shepherding the sheep. And as sheep, we promise to respect the authority and the discipline of the church. So let's turn our attention, please, to just two verses in 1 Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians. Paul's first letter to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen as we hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Indeed, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. I became a Christian in 1966 as a sophomore at Geneva College. And perhaps it's because I was caught up in that adage expressed by George Carlin. I questioned authority. I questioned authority, particularly the authority in the church. Because the church in which I grew up was writing a new confession in 1966 that became known as the Confession of 1967. I remember going home and sitting down with my pastor at that time because my mother had said something to him. Something strange happened to our son this year at college. I said to the pastor, I understand that the church is writing a new confession, and it's my understanding that that confession, and he said, just a minute, son. Have you read the confession? See, October, November, December. Well, I haven't even seen the confession. Well, don't you think you ought to read it before you critique it? A three-month-old Christian being given this document that was going to become a new confession for a mainline denomination. I remember going and reading it and underlining with a red pencil all kinds of questions. I went back and met with that particular pastor, and I began to ask about all the places that I had drawn the line. Well, that's been given back to committee. Well, that's being considered. We're not quite sure. Well, finally I said, this is my question. Do you believe the Bible is the infallible rule for faith and life? He said, do you see the light coming through that window? Now, it wasn't that window, but it was just a lot like that window. He said, the light of the Bible is kind of like the light coming through that window. And it's up to each and every one of us to sort of come to our understanding of what it says. Because, you know, the authors of the Bible are only expressing their own faith and what they understand God to be. You mean to tell me the Bible is a human book, not divinely inspired, such that it's the very Word of God that we're holding in our hands and reading? Yes, that's right. That's what the Bible is, just a book of testimony of the faith of these eminent people. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Are you able to esteem a shepherd who doesn't recognize the Bible as the only infallible rule for faith and life? What does it mean when the Apostle Paul admonishes us in these two verses? You see, I had to come to grips with that. Because as a new Christian, I didn't want this church authority stuff. But you read the Bible. And this is what the Bible says it is to be a Christian. So let's think for a moment about what Paul writes in these two brief verses. I trust that all of us see right away, I ask you, brothers. I ask you, brothers. See, the Apostle Paul was writing to these saints at Thessalonica, and he understands them to be brothers because we're adopted into the family of God. And so what we find in Romans 8, verses 12 through 17, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. No longer is it, I'll do it my way. But as brothers, adopted into the family of God, we no longer live according to the flesh. For we know if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. And when we come to grips with the notion that we are adopted into the family of God, Jesus becomes then our elder brother. And he is that elder brother who is our good shepherd. And he becomes our elder brother who is our good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. And he sheds his blood on Calvary's cross so that our sins may be forgiven in him. And not only do we recognize how he bears the wrath that our sins deserve, but he then sets us free by his grace from sin's dominion in our lives. Satan no longer is our father when God becomes our father and we praise the Lord. For the new life that we enjoy in him. He says of himself, I am the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he begins to pray there in John 17 for you and for me specifically. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So I will have one flock, one shepherd. All of us who have heard the voice of Jesus calling us to repent and believe the gospel are indeed his sheep. And it's not our faith that enables us to believe in him that saves us. The faith that we exercise in embracing Jesus Christ is the gift that comes to us because he secured for us our salvation. So that the Holy Spirit would come and he would take that heart of stone out of us and he would put that heart of flesh in us and we would hear as we heard prayed. The word heralded and we would repent. And we would believe. Because we had been made new creations in Christ Jesus. It's because he has given us faith that we're able to embrace that command, repent and believe unto salvation. And truly all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. And so we understand ourselves, as we saw in Psalm 100, we are sheep who are part of His flock. But our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has so organized His body on earth that we will also have visible shepherds who will guide and protect His sheep. To respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And the Apostle Peter tells us more about these shepherds in the 5th chapter and the first 2 verses. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. And praise God that there are 3 whom you have called in this congregation who are described by what Peter says here. They are those who are to shepherd the flock that is among you. They are to exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have them. Because you see, when Paul and Barnabas were going about in the book of Acts, seeing churches established, what did they do? They appointed elders for them in each church. Indeed, the church of God is an organism. We're growing by the grace of God into our faith and our understanding of what it is to love Him and be conformed to Christ. And we do that as we mutually shepherd each other, but there's an office of elder. And that office of elder has that distinct privilege of shepherding the sheep that are among us. And we're to respect such shepherds. And I find it curious that this word respect is translated throughout the New Testament on many occasions to know. We know what it is to know 1 and 1 is 2, math facts. And we know a whole lot of other to know data, objective truth, propositional truth. This is so because of that. But this word respect, this word to know, carries with it, and probably more is intended to mean, that personal knowledge. Peter, there at the fire the night that Jesus is on trial, the little servant girl comes and says, "You know Him." She wasn't saying, just like all of us, "You know Him," was she? "Know Him. You're one of His disciples. You moved around with Him. You know Him." bystander.
You know him.
Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I don't know that man. Jesus is the one we find in John chapter 8 and verse 19. You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, if you respected me, you would respect my Father also. You would know my Father. They who profess to know God but deny him by their works, they are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. We who are married know our spouse. And our personal knowledge of our spouse is so often manifested by the way we talk about him or her. As well as the way we talk with him or her. Praise be to God for the love our spouse has for us, who the more they know us, warts and all, the more they're committed to loving us, to respecting us, because they know the Good Shepherd who loves them and respects them. And do we know our shepherds in the flock of which we're a part? We know the shepherd who stands week by week in front of us. And if you've been working through table talk, I am the way, the truth. You know, the I am's right now, aren't we? That's what we're reading. Some of you use table talk, don't you? I know. It's okay, so yeah. I'm the door, right? I'm the good shepherd, right? Does Jesus only stand here once a week before us and shepherd us? Of course not. Where is he the other 6 days? He's with the sheep. God's going to have us call an under shepherd. And I understand he's going to have us call other shepherds. Do you know them? You sit at table with them. I remember going to the sale barn. I remember being told, when you go to this house, if you don't drink coffee, they won't welcome you. Do you know them? And what a challenge it is when it's a regional church. Now, in Ridgefield Park, no one lived in Ridgefield Park. I chose to live where I did because there was an elder within, well, a long walking distance. What did we do for prayer meeting? Well, we divided up one-on-one, and every week we met one-on-one with our prayer partner. That was our prayer meeting. You can talk on the phone. By God's grace, he brought to salvation someone who lived in Ridgefield Park. So I had a Ridgefield Park prayer partner. But you'd drive to Staten Island and you'd pay $17.50 to get there and back. Because they were sheep. Brothers, respect those, know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. They labor over you in the Lord. Jesus says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all you who are weary and heavy laden. That's our word, labor. Jesus was weary. He labored. Came to this earth. Compared to heaven, this cesspool. And he labored among us. And he gave us life for us. And he calls us into his visible body, his bride, his flock, his family. And he says, I give you shepherds. Esteeming shepherds. How are we when a shepherd admonishes us? I know what it's like when people admonish me. I know what my fleshly response is. How dare you? What right do you? And if I really give in to the flesh, I saw you. Esteem them very highly because they labor in the Lord. And that's why we say in that fourth query, there's this constitution helps us understand what it is to be in the Lord. This constitution helps us understand what the scriptures principally teach, so that we might know how rightly to live. And so we say, yes, I understand that the constitution, which is a summary of what the scriptures teach, is that out of which I'm going to be helped and encouraged and indeed admonished, so I can grow up in maturity in the Lord. Because you see, that's what the shepherd is all about. The shepherd is all about helping us to become mature in Christ. We proclaim Jesus, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. It's the shepherd's responsibility to help each and every one of us mature in Christ. Our lives are given to becoming conformed to the image of him who foreknew us, who predestined us, who called us, who adopted us, who... And God has given us elders who will shepherd us unto our maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shepherds are not here to put themselves before us. They're here to put Christ before us. Next Lord's Day, we're going to talk about following the leader. As we continue to understand these rules of walking in fellowship, the scriptures give us that Dr. Owen helps us appreciate. But before we close, let's look at that very last little phrase that makes you sort of scratch your head and wonder, does this really belong? Be at peace among yourselves. Boy, it's easy to shepherd sheep that are at peace among themselves. It's wonderful to shepherd sheep that are at peace among themselves. We parents who have more than one child know what it's like to parent children when they're at peace with each other. Oh, it's so much easier. Right? So much easier. I've learned for myself that one of the best diets on planet Earth is to be a shepherd when the sheep aren't being peaceful with each other. I could go to a session meeting, having weighed myself that morning, go to a session meeting that lasts till midnight, get up the next morning, I'm 5 pounds lighter. It's wonderful. No, it's horrible. Mutual caring, that's what we're talking about this afternoon. But this morning, it's esteeming shepherds. Those who God has given us the charge to help us grow up in Christ. To put to death the deeds of the flesh. To live by the Spirit of God. To live by the gospel. To love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind so that we may love our neighbor as ourselves. So that we can be a testimony in the communities where we live of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because it's by the love that we have one for another that the world begins to see Jesus in us. Be at peace among yourselves. And the only way you and I know to live at peace among ourselves is when we live in vital, vibrant fellowship with Him who is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize each and every one who's made that credible profession of faith as being rooted and grounded in that same Prince of Peace. So we welcome one another as our elder brother welcomes us with open arms, that we might celebrate the salvation that we enjoy at his expense. Do you know that Savior? Do you know that Prince of Peace? Have you indeed settled with him? Is he your good shepherd so that you're able to esteem the shepherds that God has placed over you in this congregation? Let's pray. Father in heaven, We thank you for this, your word, and the challenge that it is to us. But more than that, we thank you that you have recreated us such that we welcome authority, your authority, and how you manifest that in our lives today. We've long ago repented of doing it our way. There is a king in the land, Jesus Christ, and so we don't do that which is right in our own eyes. We do that which is right in your eyes. We pray by grace through faith that you would mold and fashion us more and more into the image of your Son, that we might be faithful sheep, part of the fold in which we are. The praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.